For those of you who do catch up online with this class, and if you access it through Torah Media Atlanta, you should be aware that Yisrael Killian, who runs Torah Media Atlanta, reached out because donations to that site are down. For those of you who do take advantage of it, I would suggest making a donation online when you do use it so that he can continue that site. It's March the 4th, we're in Triasa, we're in Sefania, beginning in Sefania. Devar Hashem Ashaya El Sefania Ben Kushi Ben Gedalia Ben Amaria Ben Chizkia. So, the word of Hashem was to Sefania, the son of Kushi, the son of Gedalia, the son of Amaria, the son of Chizkia. The Gemara says that whenever you have a tzaddik listed with all of the ancestry, it means all of those ancestors that are listed were also tzaddikim. Some want to suggest that the Chizkiah mentioned here is Chizkiyahu Melech Yehuda, in which case Sefania would be a descendant of kings, but that is not agreed upon by everybody. It could be it was just somebody else, the same name Chizkiyah. Bimei Yoshio ben Amon Melech Yehuda, in the days of Yoshio, the son of Amon, the king of Yehuda, this is Yoshiyahu, the great Tzaddik king, who was the king before the destruction of the first Beis HaMikdash, but we're getting towards the end of the first Beis HaMikdash when you talk about Yoshiyahu. The Gemara says there were three Nevi'im that prophesied during the days of Yoshiyahu. One is Yirmiyahu. One is Tzefania, and the third is
Chulda
the Nevi'ah. So the Gemara says that Yirmiyahu, he prophesied Bashukim, which means out in the street, meaning he prophesied for the rank and file. Chulda prophesied Lenashia, for the women. And Sfanya, he prophesied Bevate Knesios and Bevate Midrashos in the Beis Medrash. Meaning his nevuah was particularly directed at the Talmidei Chachamim. So where Yirmiyahu's nevuah was directed at everybody, and Chulda's was specific to the women, Sfanya was specific to the Talmidei Chachamim. Now we have it as one of the Sifrei Tanakh, so therefore it is a nevuah shenitzur chaladoros. It's something that's for all generations. So it's not that the message is irrelevant to someone who is not a Talmidei Chacham. However, it is important to note that that was his primary audience. So the everything we read should be filtered through that lens, that he is speaking to the learned segment of the Jewish people, as opposed to Yirmiyahu, who is talking to everybody. So that's just an important point to bear in mind. Pasuk Beis, verse 2. Asof asif kol me'al pnei ha'adama nu mashem. Shem says, I'm going to remove or destroy everything from upon the face of the earth. So says Hashem. This is a response to the Avodah Zarah that was going on. Even though Yoshiyahu does teshuvah, and the Pasuk says that that he is the quintessential Baal Teshuvah. He is the one that no one did teshuvah like him before him. And he brought the entire country to tshuva. However, the country was still reeling in the early days of Yoshio from the two previous kings who were terrible Rishayim. That would be Menashe and then Amon, Yoshio's father. So in the beginning of Yoshio's reign, there was terrible Avodah Zarah, and therefore Hashem says that I'm going to destroy everything. And now Pasuk Gimel, verse 3, spells it out. I'm sorry? What's that?
First two words are...
Yeah, that's often just for emphasis. Yeah. Pasuk Gimel, verse 3. Asaf Adam Uvehema. I'll take away or destroy man and beast. Asaf Of HaShamayim. I'll take away or destroy the birds of the heavens. Udige Hayam. And the fish of the sea. Vehamachshelos es harishaim, and those things that cause the evil people to stumble, meaning those things that they worshipped, I will remove, because that's what caused them to stumble, I will also destroy those things. And I will cut off man from the face of the earth. Neum Hashem, says Hashem. So Hashem says as a response to all of the Avodah Zarah, I'm going to bring all of this calamity. I'll remove all these things. V'natisi yadi al Yehuda v'al kol yoshvi Yerushalayim, and I will stretch my hand. This is not a passive, this is a negative. Meaning I will also bring my hand against Yehuda and those who dwell in Yerushalayim. V'ichrati min ha-makom hazeh es she'ar ha-ba'al, and I will remove from the, I will cut off from this place the remnants of the Baal, which was the Avodah Zarah that they worshipped, as Shem HaKemarim Ima Kohanim, the name of the Kemarim, which are the priests of the Avodah Zarah, who are actually those who worship with the Kohanim, also were another word for priests, but a Komer is usually used for worshipping Avodah Zarah. Of course, we know Kohen is usually used for proper worship, but it can mean a priest anyway. It doesn't have to mean proper worship. And those who bow on the roofs to the hosts of the heavens, those who worship the sun, the moon, etc. And those who bow, who swear to Hashem, that sounds okay, but then, and they swear by their Avodah Zarah. As Rashi explains, these are people who take an oath to Hashem, and then they say, if you don't trust my oath to Hashem, well, here, I'll swear to my Avodah Zarah also. That is, they elevate the oath to the Avodah Zarah over that of the one to Hashem. And those who turn away from Hashem, and those who did not seek out Hashem, and did not, again, another word for seek him out. So, this is what is going to happen. Okay, so these are all the things that are going to happen because primarily of the worship of Avodah Zarah. Okay, let's pause here for the time being. So we have the Pasuk of really Beis and Gimel telling us that everything is going to be destroyed or removed, and then it lists it. Man, beast, etc. So there are two important references that we need to see. So the first one is very short, and it is in the Rashi at the end of Parshas Bereishis, right before Parshas Noach, when the Pasuk says that Hashem says, I'm going to wipe everything out because of all the averus that were going on, very similar to what is being said over here, and the Pasuk spells it out at the end of Parshas Bereishis. The Pasuk says, I will wipe out, I will erase the man that I created, from on the face of the earth, from man until beast, ad remes, all things that crawl, v'ad of hashamayim, and all of the birds in the heavens, because I have regretted that I made them. So here you have a list of all these the different creatures that would be destroyed. It's the very end of Parshas Bereishis.
Okay.
The very, very end of Parshas Bereishis. The last pasuk is V'noach Matzachin Ben Hashem. This is the one before that. So Rashi here says, why is Hashem going to wipe out everything? I understand. So punish the sinners. Why wipe out everything? So Rashi says, Hakol Nivra Bishvil Ha'adam. Everything was created for man. The Kivan Shehu Kala, once he is destroyed, Mat Sarach Beilu, what's the need for any of these things? They're pointless. The whole purpose of creation is for man. So if man's going to be destroyed, nothing else has any purpose in being here. So that is the simple reading of this Pasuk over here in Sefania, that Hashem says, if I'm going to destroy, I'm going to destroy. Well, what's the point of leaving anything around? Nothing is worth it because they are all here only for man. However, there is another approach which is based on a Gemara in Avodah Zarah. The Gemara in Avodah Zarah is lengthy. I'm going to read you the entire thing. It is an Agadata. It is Agadic in nature. You will find the entire thing fascinating. I guarantee it. you will find it, there, it will answer some questions you may have had yourselves. And the Gemara is found in Avodah Zarah Nun Dalet Amud Beis 54b, and continues on to the next page. It begins with a Mishnah. The Mishnah says, Shalu es hazekin in Baromi, they asked the elders in Rome, Im ein ritzono ba'avodas kochavim, if Hashem doesn't like Avodah Zarah, lama eno mevatla, why doesn't he just nullify it? Why doesn't he just destroy those things that they worship? Amru lahen, so the Zakenim said, Ilu l'davar shein sorach l'olam bo hayu ovdin, if they would worship those things that the world does not need, hayam avadlo, he would nullify it. But harehin ovdin l'chama ulalavana ulukochavim ulamazalos, they worship the sun, the moon, the stars, the constellations. Yovad olam ovipnei hashotim, he should destroy the world because of the fools. So Hashem doesn't destroy the sun, the moon, etc., because just because there are foolish people who worship them, He's not going to destroy the whole world. If they would worship something which is irrelevant, so yeah, He would destroy it. But they're worshiping things that are needed for the world. Amru lahen, so they said back to the Zakenim, Imkin, if so, Yovad davar she'ein sarach la'olam bo, so that Hashem should destroy that which the world does not need, that which is worshipped that the world does not need. Let Hashem destroy that. V'yaniach davar she'tzarach olam bo, and let him leave behind those things the world does need. So if they worship the sun and the moon, and they also worship a statue, so let Hashem destroy the statue, because no, the world doesn't need that, and leave the sun and the moon. So the Mishnah says that the Zakenim answered, Amru lahen, af anu machzik nyedei ovdein shalelu, then that would strengthen the hands of those who worship the sun and the moon. Sha'omrim, they would say that Teidu Shein Elohus, I'll prove to you that the sun is God. Sha'arei Hein Lo Bidlu, because Hashem didn't destroy the sun and the moon. It must be the sun and the moon are God themselves. So Hashem, therefore, can't only destroy the statues, because that would imply that there is that the things that he doesn't destroy are in fact divine. So therefore, he destroys nothing. That's the Mishnah. Now, this exchange explains many situations. However, there are situations that contradict what the Mishnah says, which we'll talk about presently. Says the Gemara, Tanu Rabbanan, we know the name Braisa. Shaul Filosufin, as Hazakin and Baromi, the philosophers asked the elders in Rome, Im Elokechem ein ritzono b'avodas kochavim, if your God doesn't like avodah zarah, mipnei ma eino mevatla, why doesn't he destroy it? Amru lahem, they said to them, Ilu davar shein olam tzarach lo hayu ovdin, same answer as we just said in the Mishnah, if they worshipped that which the world did not need, harehu mevatla, he would destroy it. Harehin ovdin l'chama ulelevano l'kochavim ulemazalos, but they're worshipping the sun, moon, stars, and constellations. Yovan olam b'nei hashotim, he should destroy the world because of the fools. Ela olam kiminhago noheg, the world goes according to its custom. It follows its natural order. V'shotim shekilkalu, and the fools who messed up, that they worshipped avodah zarah, asidin litin esadin, they will eventually get punished for their avodah zarah. But Hashem is not going to destroy the world because of the fools. Tavarachem, another way of saying the same thing. Harei shegazal sa shelchitim, if a person stole a measure of wheat, v'halach v'zara bekarka, and he went and he planted it. He stole wheat, and then he planted it in the ground. Dinu shalot hitzmach. It shouldn't, really the din is, it shouldn't grow. It's stolen property. That person should not be able to grow that wheat. It shouldn't grow for him. Ela, olam kiminhago noeg, but the world goes according to its minhag. Vishotim shekilkulu asidin lisanin, and the fools who did averos, they'll get punished for it. Hashem doesn't make a nace and say, well, no, the wheat's not going to grow. Wheat grows. That's the way it works. Even if it's stolen, it grows. And the thief will have to get punished. Davar acher, another way of saying the same thing. Harei shebal eishes chavero. Somebody commits adultery. Dinu shalot hisaber. So what really should happen is that woman should not become pregnant, because it's an avera. It shouldn't create a child. Ela olam kimin hago noeg, but the world goes according to its way. V'shotim shekilkulu asidin litin esadin, and the fools who did averus, they'll get punished for it. So what essentially the Zakenim are saying is the averos do not cause Hashem to just wipe things out. The world follows its natural order, and those who sin get punished. Now, the Gemara continues. Shal philosophus echad es Rav Gamliel. One of the philosophers asked Rav Gamliel, Kasuf b'toraschem, it says in your Torah, Ki Hashem Elokecha Eish Ochlohu, Hashem, your God, is a consuming fire. Kel Kana, he's a jealous God. Right? He's a zealous, jealous God. Mipnema miskane be'ovdeha, fein miskane ba. Why does Hashem take vengeance against those who worship the Avodah Zarah, and he doesn't take vengeance against the Avodah Zarah itself? Why does he punish those who worship? Why doesn't he destroy the Avodah Zarah? Same question that we're asking, just asking a little differently. Why not attack the Avodah Zarah? Amar lo. So Rav Gamliel responded, Em shalucha mashal, I will tell you a mashal, lemahadavar doma. What is this similar to? Lemelech basar v'dam, a flesh and blood king. Shahelo ben echad, he had a son. Va'oso ben that son, hayamagadol lo es hakelev, he raised the dog. That son raised the dog. Fehelalo shame al shem aviv. And then he named the dog after his father. Ucheshuhu nishba, and when the son would swear, Omer, he would say, Bechaye kelev abba. I swear by the life of the dog abba. Kishasham amelech, when the king hears about this, al mihu kois, who does he get angry at? Ala ben hu kois, or ala kelev hu kois? Does he get angry at the son? Or the dog? Right. So Havi Omer Allah Benu Kois, he gets angry at the son, not at the dog. The dog didn't do anything. It's the son that did something. Therefore, he gets angry at the son. So here also, it's the person who worships the Avodah Zarah that is doing the Avera, not the Avodah Zarah itself. Amar Lo, so the philosopher said to Rabbi Gamliel, Kelavata Koreosa? You're calling the Avodah Zarah a dog? Vahalo Yesh Bamamish, but it has reality to it. The Avodah Zarah is real. Amar lo, so Rav Gamliel said to him, Umara Isa, what did you see that you claim that this Avodah Zarah is real? Amar lo, he said to him, Pamachas, one time, Nafla Dleka Bi'irenu, a fire fell in our city, a terrible fire consumed our city. Finisrafa Kol HaYir Kula, the entire city was burned down. Va'oso Beis Avodah Zarah Chavon Lo Nisraf. And the house of Avodah Zarah did not get burned down. So you see, it's powerful. The flame didn't consume it. Amarlo. So Rav Gamliel said to the philosopher, Em shalucha mashal lema davar damra. I'll tell you a mashal. What is this similar to? Lemelech basar v'dam, a flesh and blood king. Shesarcha alav medina, that one of his provinces they rebelled against him. Keshuosem milchama, when he does war, he fights with that province. Ima chayim hu oseh, does he fight with the living? Oima mesim hu oseh, does he fight with those who have already died? Heavy Omer, you should say, of course he fights with those who are alive. Same thing over here. The Avodah Zarah is dead. Avodah Zarah is Meshul Kemes. It's compared to it, something that's dead. So he's not going to fight with the Avodah Zarah. What does he fight with the Avodah Zarah for? It's a dead thing. Omer Leis, the philosopher, said to him, Kelevata Koryosa, you're calling it a dog? Mesata Koryosa, you're calling it you're calling it something dead? You're calling Avodah Zarah a dog? You're calling it dead? Im kein yovdena min ha'olam. So then why does Hashem just destroy from the world? Same question we had before. Amar lo. So Rabbi Gamliel answered a similar answer. Ilu l'davar she'en olam tzarech lo ha'yovdin. If they would worship something the world does not need, harei umavat lo, he would destroy it. Harei yovdin l'chama ulelevana l'kochava ulemazalos la'afikim ulegeos. They worship the sun, the moon, the stars, the constellations, and the various, the rivers, and the valleys. Yovar, the waterways. Yovar olam b'nei shotim, the world should be destroyed because of the fools. V'chein hu omer, and the pasuk also says in Sefanya, asof asef kol me'al p'nei adamanu Hashem. Hashem says, you want me to destroy everything from on the face of the earth? We're reading it a little differently now.
Yeah.
Hashem is saying, I should destroy everything from on the face of the earth. Asaif, asof adam, uvehema, asof of hashamayim, uvehigayam, v'amushalas, ezarashayim. You want me to destroy man, beast, birds, the fish of the sea, and all the things that cause people to stumble? You want me to destroy all that? V'chim ipnei sha'reshayim nichshalim bahen, just because the reshayim stumble in them, yovdei min ha'olam, Hashem should destroy them from the world? V'hala la'adam hein ovdim. But they even worship a man. V'chvati esha'adam hein apnei adam, you want me to destroy all men from on the face of the earth? So the Gemara is reading our psukim now a little differently. Not that Hashem says, I'm going to destroy them. Hashem is asking a rhetorical question. You want me to destroy everything? They're worshiping Avodah Zarah. What am I supposed to do? Destroy everything? They worship things the world needs. I'm not destroying everything. Instead, I'm going to punish those who worship rather than destroy everything. So the reading here is a little bit different, but we're not done yet. We're not done getting the full picture. So I just want to just review what we have until now, but we have to read a little further. So we have that the philosophers asked, the basic question is, why doesn't Hashem destroy all of the Avodah Zarah? And the answer is, because the world runs according to its natural way. Hashem isn't going to destroy the world because of the Shota, because of the fools. They're going to get their due, but Hashem is not going to destroy the world. The world runs its natural course. Same thing with theft, same thing with adultery. The world's going to run its natural course. Hashem's not going to change anything. That's the basic answer. That's the basic answer. However, the Gemara also says that why doesn't Hashem just destroy those things that are not needed for the world? No, because that would strengthen those who worship that which is needed for the world. They'll think, my Avodah Zarah is real. We also have if an entire city is destroyed except for an Avodah Zarah, that doesn't prove anything. That Avodah Zarah is not Hashem, it's not worth Hashem's while. That's dead. He has no reason to attack it. So we have that as well. Okay. So, now we have something else over here. The Gemara says, I just have to find the right spot over here. 1 minute, please. Amarle Zunin l'Rabbi Akiva. Zunin, who's a person, said to Rabbi Akiva, and he's a Jew, he says to Rabbi Akiva, Libi v'libcha yada, your heart and my heart knows, Davodas kachavim leis b'mishasha, that Avodah Zarah has no reality to it, it's all fake, it's all lies. V'ha'kachazinan gavri da'azli ki mitvri, but we see people that go to the Avodah Zarah when they're broken, for asu kimit zavdi, and they come back and they're not limping anymore. And it seems like the Avodah Zarah healed them. They go to the Avodah Zarah, they're limping, and they come out and they're doing okay. So it seems that my time is, so what's the reason why that happens? If it's true the Avodah Zarah is false, which you and I both know it's false, then how is it that sometimes happens? Amar lo, he said to him, Em shalacha mashal l'madavar damar. I'll tell you a mashal what it's similar to. La'adam neman shahaya bi'ir. There was a trustworthy person in the city. V'chol b'nei iro, hayu mafkidin etzlo shalo be'edim. Everybody in the city would entrust him with their money without witnesses. They wouldn't need witnesses. He was trustworthy. They knew that he would repay them. They did not need witnesses. They didn't have contracts. U'ba'ad ha'mechad v'hifkid lo be'edim. One person came and gave him money with witnesses. Pam echad, one time, shachach, v'hifkid etzlo shalo be'edim. So one time, that person who did come with witnesses forgot and gave him without witnesses. Now that person was like insulting the trustworthy person. Everybody else, you know, there's no need for any witnesses. This guy, I need witnesses. So it was kind of like a slap in the face. And one time he forgot to do it. So his wife said, okay, let's give him his due. So his wife said to him, so let's deny that he ever gave you money. Let's deny it, because now we can get him back. Because he said to her, V'chim ipnei sheshote ze osa shlo kahogan, because this fool is behaving inappropriately, that he's not, I'm a trustworthy person, and he's not willing to do that. He's a fool. Anu nevaras emunasenu, we should give up our trustworthiness. Everybody knows our word is as good as gold. So now, because this person is a fool, therefore we should lose our good reputation? No. So the Gemara says, Av kach yisurin. The same is true for afflictions. B'shash shemeshagrin osam al ha'adam. When, from Shamayim, they send afflictions on a person. Mashbien osan. They make the afflictions swear. They make the afflictions take an oath. Shlotelchu, they will not leave the person, ela biyom ploni, only on a certain day. Velo seitzu ela, I'm sorry, they shouldn't go to the person, ela biyom ploni, only on a certain day. Velo seitzu ela biyom ploni, they shouldn't leave the person except on a certain day. Uvisha plonis, and at a certain hour. Valyadei ploni, and only through a certain person, meaning through a certain doctor, or whatever it is, that the person should, the yisurim should leave. Valyadei sam ploni, and through a particular medicine. Kivan shigia zmano latzes, when it's time for the affliction to leave. Halach ze labeis avodas kochavim. This person happened to go to the avodah zara at the time that it was anyway time for the yisurin, for the afflictions to leave the person. Amru yisurin. So the yisurin would say, the afflictions would say, dinu shalon etze. We really shouldn't leave because he's going to the avodah zara. We shouldn't leave. Let him keep his afflictions. V'chosin v'omer, but then the afflictions go back and say, v'chimi pnei sheshote zeh osa shlo kahogan, just because he's behaving inappropriately, anu nevad shvu asenu, we're going to give up our oath? No, we took an oath that we're going to leave. In other words, it's coincidental. Yes, sometimes they go into the Avodah Zarah limping and they come out not limping, but it is really coincidental. It is because it was time for the afflictions to leave anyway. And the Gemara says that's why the afflictions are called chalayim ra'im v'ne'emanim, and they're trustworthy. Okay, fine. So now we have another reason why Avodah Zarah may appear to be real, but it isn't. So we've answered why Avodah Zarah is not destroyed. If it's not real, why isn't Hashem destroy it? No, he doesn't destroy it because then it would destroy the world. Why doesn't he just destroy those things that the world doesn't need? No, because then that would make the other Avodah Zarahs look real. What about if a whole city is destroyed except for that Avodah Zarah? Doesn't that show it's real? No, that's just because Hashem doesn't bother with it. It's not real anyway. He doesn't bother with it. What about people who are sick and they go into the Avodah Zarah and then they get better? That's coincidental. So all these things are dealing with different indications that one would have thought would give validity to the Avodah Zarah. It does not give validity to the Avodah Zarah. But we're not done. One more point. Says the Gemara. Amalei Rava bar Rav Yitzchak l'Rav Yehuda. So Rava bar Rav Yitzchak said to Rav Yehuda, Ha'ika beis avodas kachavim ba'asrin, there's this avodah zara, house avodah zara in our city, our place, t'chimatzdrich alma l'mitra, when the world needs rain, when there's a drought, mischazi luhu b'chalma, the avodah zara appears to the people in a dream, va'amar luhu, and says to them, shachtu li gavra, slaughter for me a particular person, human sacrifice, va'aisi mitra, and I will bring rain. Shachdula, they slaughter a person. Ichsachul agave, they slaughter a person. Va'asi mitra. And it rains. Now what are you going to say to that?
Coincidental.
Okay, but that's pretty rough. In a dream, it appears to them in a dream. It's hard to say coincidental if it appears to them in a dream and predicts what's going to happen and then it happens. That's pretty serious. So the Gemara says, Amar Leh, he says back to him, Hashta yihava shachivna, now, had I already died, lo amri luchu, I wouldn't be able to tell you hamilsa this thing. Now this is something which, if I would have died, I would have died with the secret. So this is important. Da Amar Rav, that Rav said, Mai dichsiv, what does it mean when it says in the Pasuk? Asher chalak Hashem elokecha osam, that says you're not supposed to worship the sun and the moon, that Hashem has designated them l'chol ha'amim, to all the nations. Now the simple reading is, Hashem has designated these things for everybody to get benefit from, to get light, to get warmth, etc. Melamed, this teaches us, she'achalikan bidvarim kedei latardan min ha'olam, that Hashem has given them a method of being destroyed from the world. That Hashem has provided those who want to worship Avodah Zarah with ample reason to believe that the Avodah Zarah is real. And he actually gives them signs to give them the opportunity to stumble and worship the Avodah Zarah. Why? Because that's what they want. V'hainu dam Reish Lakish, and that is what Reish Lakish meant when he said, "May dechsiv im laleitzim hu yalitz ulanav mitinchein." For the scorners, he gives them the ability to scorn, and for those who are humble, he gives favor. Baletamei poskin lo, someone who comes to defile oneself, they open up for him. They give him all the opportunity he wants to defile himself. Baletaher, someone who wants to purify, misayinoso, they help him. That they pave the way. A person makes choices, and upstairs, they pave the way for those choices. If a person wants to worship Avodah Zarah, they open the doors for that person to worship Avodah Zarah, and even to the extent that the Avodah Zarah may appear to have validity. Even that. But if a person is Bava Tahir, a person comes to purify Messiah, so they help him. They're Medayik in this Gemara, that for the one who's coming to defile oneself, it says Poschalo, they open the door for him. It doesn't say they help him. They open the door for him. But one who's coming to purify, they help him. There actually is a Siyata Dishmaya that a person will be successful when they are coming to purify. So at the end of the day, the Gemara has gone through many indications that would show that an Avodah Zarah is real. And the Gemara gives the answers to why these things happen, even though the Avodah Zarah is not real. Hashem does not destroy everything, because then the whole world would be destroyed, because he destroyed all the Avodah Zarahs. He doesn't destroy those things that the world doesn't need, because that would encourage those who worship those things the world does need. The Hashem could destroy a whole city and not destroy the Avodah Zarah. That's not because the Avodah Zarah is powerful, it's because it's pointless. It's irrelevant. Sometimes it appears like an Avodah Zarah is doing something, it's purely coincidental, because the person was going to get healed anyway. And finally, there are times when actually there are real signs that it's a real Avodah Zarah to the extent of a dream that comes true. And that is because Hashem is giving those who want to defile themselves the opportunity to do so, and giving them the wherewithal that they can stumble. This is one of the things that the Targum Shivim, that the Septuagint, that when they translated the Torah for Talmai HaMelech, that they changed. Because when the Pasuk says, this Pasuk of Asher Chalak Hashem Elokecha Osam, that Hashem has designated them, the sun and the moon, L'chol Ha'amim, that he designated them for all of the nations, which we're saying here means to worship. That's what it means. Hashem set them aside as something which they could worship and stumble and get punished for. They added the words over here when they translated, Lahayr Lahem, to give light to them. Hashem is designated for all the nations to give light for them.
And they all 70 did that.
Yeah, that was one of the Nisim. That was one of the Chel changed. But the thing is that this is one of the ones they changed, because the simple reading of the Pasuk, if you really just read it, it sounds like, don't worship the sun and the moon that Hashem is designated for all the nations of the world. Sounds like he's designated for all the nations of the world to worship. That's what it sounds like. And that's what the Gemara is saying, is the real pshat in the Pasuk. Hashem has set them aside. He's set up a sun and moon, which he's not going to destroy, which nations of the world could make a mistake and believe that they're real, and they will worship, and they will die. They will be killed for it. Why? Because that's what they're looking for. But if they're looking to purify, Hashem will help them. Everybody, not just them, us also. Hashem, someone who's looking to defile, chas v'shalom, then they will open the door, and if a person is looking for purity, Hashem will help that person along for purity. Yeah.
But didn't we say this king did tshuva, so he wanted to be helped?
That's
right?
What's going
to
happen. That's okay. What's going to happen. Right. Okay. As we move along in Tzafaniah, we'll see that the tone will change. Yoshio later is going to do tshuva. This is in the early part of his reign.
Where is this pasuk Asher Chalak Lehem?
That is in, I think, Vayeschanan. It's in Vayeschanan.
And there's two ideas that I'm wondering if it's really applicable to us today. So this idea about Avodah Zarah that Hashem will give, if people show that they want to go that direction, Hashem will open the door for them that they can. So we don't have the Yitzhar of Avodah Zarah today, but is that rule still apply to people?
You know, there was a, this Gemara here reminds me, there was a famous major flood in Pennsylvania in Johnstown. Is that
the name? Johnstown flood.
Johnstown flood. Yeah. It was a huge flood. The entire city was wiped out. The only thing that remained was the big base of Avodah Zarah. That's the only thing that remained. This Gemara is saying, why? Because there's no point.
So, but does this rule apply to today?
Why not?
We don't have
the drive for Avodah Zarah.
No, right, so I'm saying, so is it, we have other drives for other Avodah
Zarahs. Yeah.
So is this a principle that is relevant?
I assume, Avodah Zarah still exists.
But even after Avodah Zarah, this rule that, okay, if you want to go stumble.
Oh, yeah. No, this rule of one who comes to stumble, one who comes to defile, they'll open the door, and one who comes to purify, that they will assist, that is true about everything. That's not only true about Avodah Zarah. Right.
And then what about this other thing about person having pain, and the pain has when it's going to come and when it's going to leave, and then, so there's no impact what a person is doing?
In Mazal Yisrael.
That we had this last week.
Right. And it's we can daven and change Mazal. But there is a default. There is a default.
This timing thing is mazel.
It says here it's a gzera. So I don't know if it's particularly mazel or if it's a gzera. There is always a default. Meaning, let's say it's a punishment. Afflictions are not always punishments, but let's say it's a punishment. So Hashem can, when there is a punishment, there's a default. And as Hashem sends it against the person to do a certain amount of damage for a particular amount of time. Right? So there is a default. Now we can dive and change that, but there is a default.
The default's teva, right, or whatever it might be.
Yeah, it's right. There is a default. So that default is what's going to be, and then sometimes it can be coincidental that the person goes into the Avodah Zarah and it leaves at the same time.
Or they could dive in.
Right. Well, yeah. Not if they go into the Avodah Zarah.
Coincidental.
Okay, so in our pasuk in Sefania, first of all, I just thought that you would find this gemara fascinating. This is like it's one of these fundamental gemaras that really everybody should know. This is one of those, you know, it just answers a lot. It directs, even if it doesn't answer every single eventuality, but it directs the way one should be thinking about these things, which is it's very powerful. But here in Sefania, according to this Gemara, the way you read these psukim is Hashem says, what am I supposed to do? Destroy everything? If I'm going to destroy everything that they worship, I'm going to have to destroy man and beast and birds and fish and everything else. So that's what I should do? So therefore Hashem says, that's not what I'm going to do. Rather, I'm going to punish those who sinned. That would be the other way of reading all of these psukim in Sefania.
In Bereishis also has a variety.
In Bereishis it doesn't seem, because he does destroy everything.
Right,
there. Over there it does. It seems that's what it is. I mean, there, granted, the fish are not destroyed. That's the
it doesn't say it.
The mammal, the mammal anyway did not kill the fish.
That's right. Wasn't there also? I thought the Rashi says also. Maybe that they were themselves.
Yeah, that's the first part of the Rashi. Okay. Yeah, I skipped that part of the Rashi. It's true, but. That, you have to understand that also. See, the first part of the Rashi is, why is Hashem destroying everything? Because they also sinned. The animals, the birds, they also sinned, just not just the people. But they don't have Bechira. They sinned because we sinned. Now, they followed man. So, evidently, they were destroyed. It's really the same thing. It's really because of man that they're being destroyed. Okay. Now, based on the Gemara in Avodah Zarah, then these psukim in Sefania are really saying what the Mishnah in Avodah Zarah is saying. There's the Mishnah of Avodah Zarah is really getting it from these psukim in Sefania. That Hashem is really saying what the Zakenim said to the philosophers. That, of course Avodah Zarah should be destroyed, but that can't be because then the whole world gets destroyed. Now, we do have an example, though, that does fly in the face of something that it does say in the Mishnah. What was the second part of the Mishnah? That they said, okay, so destroy those things that the world does not need, and don't destroy those things the world does need. So the response to that is, because then it will encourage those who are worshiping those things the world does need. However, we have an example in the Chumash itself, where Hashem destroyed all of Avodah Zarah and left one intact.
Egypt.
Exactly. What was the name of the one that he left intact?
Well,
What's that? No.
Baal
Tzifon. Baal Tzifon. So the pasuk says in Bishalach that the Jews were leaving Mitzrayim, and of course the Egyptians, Hashem was leading them, and then Hashem wants the Jews to double back, because he wants to get the Egyptians to chase after them. Vayidaber Hashem al Moshe lemar, Daber al Bnei Yisrael, speak to the Jews, this is in Bishalach, V'yashuvu, they should return, V'yachanu lifnei pi hachiros, and they should encamp in front of pi hachiros, the mouth of freedom, Bein Migdol uvein Hayam, which is between Migdol and the sea, lifnei Baal Tzifon, in front of Baal Tzifon, nichachon sachanu al Hayam, across from it, they should encamp on the sea. So Rashi says, what do you mean lifnei Baal Tzifon? We said before that uvachol Elohim Mitzrayim eseh shfatim ani Hashem, I'm going to do judgment against all the gods of Egypt. Everything's going to be destroyed. Rashi said before, if it's wood, it'll burn up. If it's metal, it'll melt. If it's stone, it'll get smashed. All the Avodah Zarahs were destroyed in Egypt. So what is this lifnei Baal Tzifon? Says Rashi, Hu nishar mikol Elohei Mitzrayim. Baal Tzifon remained from all the Avodah Zarah of Mitzrayim. Kedei lahat osan, in order to get them to stumble, in order to get them to trip up. Sheyomru, they'll say, Kasha yirasan, that their yira, that which they fear, is powerful. That Baal Tzifon, of all the gods of Mitzrayim, was powerful enough to withstand Hashem. That's what they would think. Va'alav pirish Eov, and about this situation, Eov explained, Mashgila goyim v'ovdeim. He makes the non-Jews stumble and they are destroyed. Same message that we have in our Gemara. In other words, the final word of the Gemara is there are times when Hashem does give reason to stumble. There are situations where that happens. And the Gemara gave the case of the person who had the dream and it came true. But really we have an example right here in the Chumash. That Hashem destroyed all of the Avodah Zarahs. Now, all of these Avodah Zarahs he destroyed were those that the world didn't need. They were idols. So here he did destroy those. He didn't destroy the sun and the moon, but he destroyed all the other deities in Mitzrayim. And he left intact one in order to get them to stumble. So here, this flies in the face of the Mishnah, because here, number one, he does destroy that which is not needed by the world. And number two, he does leave intact one. But the reason why this is different, this is an exception to what's going on in the Mishnah, is because clearly here Hashem is making them, that's the whole point. He's even sending the Jews back to get them to stumble. That's the whole thing. Turn around, make it appear like you're, it says, the pasuk itself says, Paro will say, Nivuchim hem ba'aretz. They're locked up in the land. They don't know how to get out. They're stuck. We'll go catch them again. So here Hashem is clearly baiting the Egyptians. That's clearly what's happening.
That's Bnei Yisrael.
Is he baiting the Bnei Yisrael?
I mean, they
it doesn't could. Say that, but maybe you're right. Maybe it was also to make sure the Jews had full emunah. That I don't know. But clearly the pasuk is saying that he's baiting the Egyptians. So here, the reason why this is not contradictory to the Mishnah is the Mishnah is talking about just regularly. Why doesn't this happen go on all the time? Why doesn't Hashem destroy the Avodah Zarah? Why doesn't he destroy the Avodah Zarah? The world doesn't need. But this is clearly exceptional because here Hashem is out to get the Egyptians. And this is one of the ways he used, one of the methods he used to get the Egyptians was to destroy all of the idols except for this. And that's, and they left it intact.
Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu Melech HaOlam Shehakol Nivra. So in a way, it's very, and really in sync with it because it's opening the door for them to stumble.
That's exactly right. Now, we also find that in the Makos, Hashem does destroy or severely limits an Avodah Zarah that the world does need. That's the Nile River. The Nile River was integral to life. And he turned it into blood. Now that didn't affect us, but it affected everybody else. Mm-hmm. So there he did, but there his intent was to hurt them. That was the whole point.
Okay.
why have them go through that whole thing to stumble if you're going to drown them all anyway?
The real
that ball wasn't near the city, right? That wasn't
apparently not. Apparently not. So, the real question over here would be that the answer to your question could have been that they have free will. You know, they don't have to stumble. Hashem is giving them the opportunity that, look, if you're coming.
Why bother with that if you're going to drown them in the sea anyway?
Well, really what you're saying is, which is why my answer is not a good answer, is because Hashem says, it says he hardened his heart. So he's going to send them in anyway, right? Okay, so clearly Hashem wanted them in the water. That's where he wanted them. He didn't want to destroy them in Egypt. He wanted to destroy them in the water, and he wanted it to be in this method, with Kriyas Yamsuf. Like, he wanted all of that to happen. So he needed the Egyptians to come en masse to the Red Sea. So this was the way of baiting them there. So, you know, I don't know I'm sure there are other methods. It's the Harbe Drachen Lamakom. Hashem has many ways of doing things. I don't know why this particularly is the method they used, but he obviously wanted them in the Yamsuf, and that should happen.
Because Baal Tzephon was there, they went back to the Yamsuf?
Well, Baal Tzephon was part of why they believed that they had the ability to catch the Jews. Right. They needed some way.
The Egyptians felt they had a chance to overtake the Jews because the Jews came back.
Right.
Well, and didn't continue going forward.
And they thought their God was going to help them. That's why they wanted Baal Tzephon there. So that, right? Isn't that the whole way you're saying?
Well, that's part, yeah. It seems that that's part of it. It seems that they thought that they had something backing them up. Yeah. I don't want to go further in Sefania. I'm going to end with something which has nothing to do with Sefania. I just want to end with something about this point in Kriyas Yamsuf. Just one last point, which is not there. Everything else was related to Sefania. This part is not. And that is that, you heard this before, because I said it a few weeks ago on Shabbos. But the Egyptians they chased the Jews into the Yamsuf. You can ask the question, what were they thinking? And you can write this script, you don't have to know the end of the story. The thing split, an incredible miracle happens, and it splits, and it's paved, and it's beautiful, the same Hashem who split it can bring the water back down. What are you out of your mind? What are you thinking? That obviously you're going to go in, the Jews are going to come out, the water's going to drown you all. I mean, it doesn't make any sense at all. So you could answer they weren't thinking. That's a valid answer. You can answer that. I mean, Hashem hardened it, Paro's heart, and yeah, they weren't thinking. That is an answer, and it is a valid answer. But I do believe that there is something that was added in Kriyas Yamsuf that had not happened previously in the Makos. And it only happened here, and that was the kernel of truth that the Egyptians thought that they'd be safe if they went in after the Jewish people. And that is that all of the Makos until now were all punishments. They were all striking and punishing the Egyptians. Yeah, the Jews weren't hurt. So the punishment didn't go as far as the Jewish people. But they were all punishments. They were all painful punishments. Kriyas Yamsuf was a salvation. It split to save the Jews. It wasn't a punishment. It saved the Jews. The Egyptians, I think, believed, this is what they were holding on to, that although Hashem is capable of punishing, and Hashem is capable of saving, but he's not capable of saving and punishing in one fell swoop. That the same miracle that saved should also punish. Either he can punish or he can save, but he can't multitask. It's one or the other. And the same event, it's not just multitasking, but the event that was a Hatzalah, a Yeshua, cannot at the same time be a destruction. And that was what was Nischadish. That was the novel thing of Kriyas Yamsuf, because the very thing that saved the Jews destroyed the Egyptians. And that's what it means in the Pasuk itself, in Oz Yashir, which Rashi says, Hashem ish milchama Hashem shemo. Hashem is the man of war. Hashem is his name. Even as he's doing war, he's still sustaining the whole world. Yudke Vavke. And Yemincha Hashem Nedari Bakoach, Yemincha Hashem Tirat Zoyeh. If your right hand Hashem is strong, Rashi says, to save the Jewish people, your right hand Hashem smashes the enemy. Rashi says, the same right hand that is saving the Jewish people is smashing the enemy. What a bus of a dama, a flesh and blood can't do. Can't, with the same hand, destroy and save simultaneously. And that was the kernel of truth that they were holding on to, that they thought they'd be safe going through the Yom Suf.
But they're still not thinking, because the moment they go and get the Jews, then it's not salvation anymore, and then destruction can still happen.
Were the Jews all out of the Yam Suf when it crashed down on the Egyptians? Was the last Jew out of the water by the time it crashed down? I'm not sure that that's true.
No idea.
I thought it was on the side.
What?
That they went and then the water came on them. So that the water, isn't that what, I just thought that today when I was saying something in Yosha made me think that.
I'm not sure how it works.
So they couldn't have been far away. Because they saw the thing happening, right.
So they saw the faces and whatever.
So they couldn't have been far behind.
No, they couldn't have been too far behind. Anyway, that's a thought.
Thank you for listening to Torah Media Atlanta. Won't you consider making a donation to help support this important work? Just go to torahmediaatlanta.com and click on the donate link. Thank you very much.